بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وقال تعالى ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا My dear respected elders, brothers, listeners and sisters at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have something which everybody's been speaking about for the last several months, the last year, more than a year. It's finally upon us. We're in the midst of the blessed month of Ramadan, and the Olympics are about to begin. It would be very remiss of us to not speak about it, because it's something that affects us directly, especially us as this community here in this area, because of being so close to the Olympic venue, about 10 minutes away. So this is one of the areas which is going to be impacted by the Olympics. And as I've heard a few people saying already, that I hate the Olympics because it's caused a lot of traffic for my business route. So I can no longer go there and do my business so easily because there's too many traffic curbs and restrictions. So I have to take a longer route. So there are people who are condemning the Olympics like that because it's spoiled their daily lifestyle as such. For other people, it's been better. For example, in one aspect, for people who found difficulty parking, I guess because of the parking restrictions in some areas, it's made it easy that, mashallah, I always find parking, for example. Right? So if you look at the bright side of it, that is one bright side of it in the month of Ramadan. In that sense, at least you find parking. You don't have to keep going around and round to look for parking. But these are some of the minor things. Essentially, in the short time that we have we have to speak about two responsibilities. Firstly, it's the month of Ramadan. Being the month of Ramadan, and even if it was not the month of Ramadan, Muslims don't have time to waste. There are halal forms of enjoyment, clearly defined. And then there are cases where many other things become involved in that. Unfortunately, where big events like this happen, though there may be some aspects of it which may be praiseworthy, competition or whatever it may be. However, there are many other things that come along with it. For example, in South Africa, when the football was played there a few years ago, and likewise here, there's this discussion that because of the huge amounts of people that will be coming along, things like prostitution will increase. Because people who come along, they need that as an outlet. Just like they need food, they need this. So there will be so many people coming in to provide this kind of an issue. Then there's a whole capitalistic aspect behind the whole Olympics of making money, the sponsorship, the huge amounts of money that are supposed to be generated. Wallahu a'lam, exactly what the benefit is. There is for London, aside from the fact that there is the point that they've hosted the Olympics, a sense of pride and so on. Today is not the time for us to speak about the ethical aspects of it. Simply put, we are in the midst of Ramadan, and we don't have a moment to waste. According to the ulama, the benefits of the month of Ramadan, we can understand from a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a person misses a fast in the month of Ramadan, without any excuse, and then, to make that up, he fasted for his entire life outside the month of Ramadan's going forward. Every other day of his life, he fasted, he would not be able to recoup the same reward that he missed for that one day of fast. The reason for this is quite clear, that the amount of concentrated rewards and benefits and mercy and rahmah and everything else is so intense in the month of Ramadan that multiple days fasted outside of the month of Ramadan cannot make that up. We don't have a moment to waste. We've got many things that we have to do. Our Quran we have to read, and the worships that we have to do, and essentially purify ourselves. This is not the time of enjoyment. Essentially, for most people, Olympics is going to be a time for enjoyment, to go and watch something, to relax, to be among the crowd. And then with the sun, it just makes it even worse, because then people don't even dress properly. And that's another big fitna. And we can't be destroying our fast. So definitely, there are a lot of ethical issues involved in there. However, we have another responsibility, and that is the main point of my discussion today. The Olympics are happening regardless of whether somebody wants it or not. Whether the detractors of it were against it, and those who are for it. It's happening, it's there, it's around the corner. And you will be affected by it even when you go to your local Asda in Leighton. Right? There are already these tents outside, which is kind of like an overflow area for people to come and buy things, food, cafes, etc., etc. So you're going to be affected by it. Another very interesting thing about these Olympics in London this year, historically speaking, according to records go, is that this is going to be the most Muslim of Olympics. According to Time magazine, this is going to be one of the most Muslim of Olympics for a number of reasons. One reason, which we have nothing to do with, is that it's going to have the highest level of Muslim competitors, Olympians, Muslims who will take part in the Olympics. It's going to have the highest level. Again, that's nothing that we can do anything about, but there's another aspect. No Muslim country has ever hosted the Olympics. Turkey's put a bid in, but they haven't won any bids yet. And no Muslim country or Muslim majority city has ever hosted the Olympics. This city, London, with hundreds of thousands of Muslims, is the first city that will have the largest Muslim population when an Olympics are going to be held. And more so, the location in which it's being held, essentially Hackney and Waltham Forest and Newham, heavily Muslim areas. Heavily Muslim areas with a Muslim presence, clear Muslim presence, men with beards, hats, Islamic tunics and garments, women with all the way from hijabs to niqabs, throughout. So the hundreds of thousands of the multiple people that will be coming from all countries in the world that may have never seen a Muslim before except on TV, who may have never seen a Muslim, a decent Muslim person, except on TV, where they've probably been shown all the notorious individuals. They are coming into a venue, into an area, where there's going to be a huge Muslim presence. The next best thing to a Muslim country. Subhanallah. We have a responsibility being so close. Even if we're not going to watch any athletics, or any Olympics, or into the stadium, when you go to do your local shopping. Many people, in fact, here, our congregants, may be working in the Olympics. The other day, I was in the next masjid, Clapton Masjid, and there was somebody at the back, and he'd left his coat and everything, and essentially, he was working for the Olympics. So we have many people who are working, either as drivers, taxis, within, as stewards, or whatever it may be. There is a responsibility that we as Muslims have. We could use this at this point in time just by acting as good Muslims to be the form of the greatest da'wah that we could have ever done, maybe. The reason is there are huge amounts of people that are coming from countries that they don't see Muslims, especially not Muslims that are dressed the way, unless they go to a Muslim country. And some of them are fearful of going to a Muslim country because of all that has been fed to them in the media. And some of the acts that have been perpetrated before in the name of Islam as such. This is a time for us to show our best example. And one thing we have to understand, that there's no hukum, there's no ruling in Islam that when you see a non-Muslim that you must act badly with them. Cases of war, when you're at war with somebody, is a different situation. One needs to differentiate between that. Essentially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Good and bad, good and evil can never be equal and can never be the same. But idfa billati hiya ahsan. Repel, respond in a way that is excellent, that is beautiful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And it is then very likely and very possible that the one between whom you and him, or you and that person, was enmity created by the media, created by many things that are beyond our control in many cases. For you, between you and such a person, you can become a close and dear friend, waliyun, as though you're a close and dear friend. People will be coming here if they see the excellent character of a Muslim, that despite the fact that they're dressed as Muslims, they are overtly, clearly, openly Muslims, they're treating me nicely. This is very different from what I've been seeing on the media. This is very different from what I've been hearing about, what people are saying, what's been in my mind for the last 10 years. And it is possible that by that they see, and then the spark of Islam enters their heart. We have to have an intention of da'wah. We have to have an intention of invitation. Invitation is not just to lazy Muslims, but invitation is also to non-Muslims to share this great faith of ours. And believe me, there is greater benefit. There is such great benefit in doing that. The rewards that you get. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. A number of things are mentioned here. Who better in speech than the one who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. But you have to do good. You have to do amal salih, good action. And you have to be proud of your faith. There are many Muslims who do da'wah to non-Muslims, but they're not willing to express their own and expose their own identity properly. But this one is, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, clearly declares that I am also a believer, and does the good deed to show it. That's important. It's praised the people who, despite the fact that they had non-Muslim prisoners, the Muslims were hospitable. Muslims had great hospitality and generosity. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطُّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. That they will feed, despite their own love for the food and need for the food, and the preference and desiring it themselves, they will feed the miskeen, the poor person, the orphan, and the prisoner. And in those cases, you would assume that the prisoners would be non-Muslims in that case. But you're feeding them as well. I mean, the Sahaba, it's clear about that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a famous story, simple story, we have a few minutes. We can't mention the numerous things. But just one simple story. There was a young Jewish lad that used to come and be of service to Rasulullah, his qadim, he used to work for him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One day he didn't show up, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam discovered that he is ill. He went to visit him. He went to visit a Jewish boy. Imagine that. He went to visit a Jewish boy that he had some acquaintance with. And look at the barakah that this act of mercy brought. When he went to visit him, he saw that he was about to die. He said, say la ilaha illallah. And his father is standing there. And he's looking at him, what should I do? But in this case, this father, he said, do what you've been told. You know, it's up to you, do what you've been told. And he said, la ilaha illallah. So he becomes a Muslim through this act of mercy. That's why, whether we like it or not, there will be hundreds of thousands of people that will be descending on this city. And I know it's going to restrict our movements in terms of the lanes being blocked and new Olympic lanes and this, that and the other. But maybe that's a good thing, because it's Ramadan anyway and we want to be at home doing worship rather than going out Green Street here, there, shopping. Right? Or wherever else you guys go. Right? So that's the benefit here. Now what can we do? A few things quickly, just to give us ideas of what we can do. And remember, not all of these things everybody will be able to do. But whatever we can do, keep that in mind. Because we have to do a sense of da'wah. And you mustn't think, what's going to happen with me being good? How do we know they're going to embrace Islam? That's not the point. That is in the hands of Allah. Because إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You cannot guide whom you will and enter him into Islam. You just have to give the da'wah, you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even 10 years down the line, somebody will be in a state where they'll be looking for a new religion. There may be some turbulence in their heart, and they will think back, and one incident will stay in their mind, that there was this Muslim guy and he helped me out. He went out of his way when we went for the Olympics. Let me look into that religion. Who knows? Allah has many ways of doing these things. First and foremost, smile. Not to the women, for the men, not to the women. All right? There'll be huge amounts of women, you know, half naked, and that's not what we're saying here. All right? We're saying generally, if you've got any interaction as a taxi driver or a shopkeeper or anything else, I mean, you smile at people. Be polite and courteous to everybody. Politeness, and that's necessary all the time anyway. Regular words of thanks, greetings. I mean, in England, we do everything in silence. You buy something, you just put it there, they charge you, and that's it. There's no good day, hello, thank you very much, none of that, hardly. In other countries, it's like that. I can't speak for Europe, but in America, it's like, if you didn't say that, you would be considered to be quite rude. You just have to, it may be hypocritical for many people, but it happens. Right? So be courteous when you do that. Use Islamic terms if you can. Right? Inshallah, I'll do this. What is this, inshallah? Right? These are ways. I've seen people who are natural da'is. For most of us, we have to put it on and then do it as an action. But there are people who are natural da'is. I remember this one brother, he came for the Tablighi Jamaat from Pakistan, and this was in Philadelphia in America. He went to the shop and he's giving da'wah every moment, quite naturally. He's got this beautiful smile, right? He's put full Islamic clothing on. And he gives da'wah when he's giving his money, when he's buying something, when he's doing this, just quite naturally. We find a restriction in our heart from doing this, to tell somebody about our faith, because we don't know what the response is going to be. But once you do it a few times, it becomes easier. And we're supposed to be da'is. We're supposed to be inviting people to the good all the time. Be patient and courteous as drivers, because there's going to be a huge amount of driving. So don't, you know, you've got a big beard or whatever, and suddenly you're cutting somebody up, or you're getting very angry, you're really, honking your horn or whatever the case is. So be patient when it comes to confused pedestrians or people in cars. Give up your seats in public transport for the more vulnerable people, older people, or and others, for example. And be nice when people ask you which way is this or which way is that, as long as it's a halal thing. If you think there's somebody that needs help, you can go out of your way to help them. Again, this is all about da'wah. That's what I'm saying. It's all about da'wah. And there's other things. Wear your Muslim garments during this time. You know, make it feel like they're in a Muslim city. Make it feel like that. We've got, alhamdulillah, this freedom here. It's Ramadan. Make it feel like that. Don't hide your identity. Your one biggest identity, as long as you've got good character, is that you dress as Muslims and people will say, hey, what is this? This must be a Muslim. Make lots of dua for us and make dua for the guidance of all. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect this from all evils and all major problems and all any other issues and harms for the Muslim community, for the people in general. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these days easy for us during these times of these restrictions in driving and or whatever it is. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our good deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a source of guidance. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.